In our culture, the way we work isn't working. Our addiction to busyness and obsession with always trying to do more leads us to feel like we're always failing our families, our careers, our spouses, and ourselves. We need to revolutionize the way we work. It's not acceptable to work ourselves to the brink of exhaustion, to constantly be on call, checking our work email around the clock. How do we fix the system? Well, the answer isn't some corporate policy, and it isn't leaning in. It's a system within ourselves, in our daily work lives, and in our homes. Because the only way to create a new system is to be it. These are the words from entrepreneur and best-selling author Kate Northrup. We are going to be discussing her book, Do Less, and today we are going to learn a revolutionary approach to time and energy management for busy mamas.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode. Thank you for listening in. Join Deborah Lauren, foundational life coach and mom of two, as she shares insights, practices, and interviews that help us maintain focus, organization, and time for ourselves amidst a busy life and high expectations. These conversations invite you to sample all the ways we can build our own foundational health practice. Consider this your how-to in making a commitment to yourself so you can find your freedom and live life on purpose. Here is your host, Deborah Lauren.
Hello, hello, my friends. Welcome to episode 44 of the Find Your Freedom podcast. That's a lot of F's. Oh my gosh. How's everybody doing this week? I'm really excited about this episode because we are turning to one of my mentors, an amazing mother, entrepreneur, best-selling author, Kate Northrup. I had the pleasure of actually meeting her in person a little while back, but I had been a fan of hers for a good year or so before that, reading her books, tuning into her podcast, and I wanted to pay homage to all of her wisdom and leadership by doing a little book review of Do Less, which is her amazing approach in using the lunar cycle and really understanding our deeper inner wisdom to help us manage our time and gain back some energy and, of course, find our freedom. So, how I want to really work this episode is just to give you a little background into why this book exists in the first place and what we are trying to answer with its practices. As I mentioned in that quote when we started this episode, these days, we really do tend to focus on quantity over quality. The stress of accomplishing is almost a rite of passage, right? It's a status that we are constantly looking to achieve in all our roles, parenting, work outside the home, relationships, the whole stress of being busy, of feeling important, right? But when we ask ourselves to work and produce and create again and again and again with no rest, no recuperation, we burn out. Just as plants, you know, when you plant the same crop over and over without giving the land rest, without giving the soil a break, then your crops are going to suffer. The soil is going to degrade. There is a rhythm and a cycle to planting. And so too, there is a rhythm in our bodies. Okay, we're going to become ill, inefficient, exhausted when we don't give ourselves that rest. And so we think that it's just a normal part of life to get sick. But that's actually not the case. Our bodies do not want to be sick. All right, the actual term disease breaks out into dis-ease. We are not in ease. We are kind of straight-arming the natural rhythms and cycles and health that can be all the time. All right, we think that health is a miracle, but health is the baseline. That's where our body wants to get back to center all the time. And it is our choices and our habits and our movement and our rest and the stress and everything that can get in the way of that. So today, my friends, we are going to talk about some of Kate's proven amazing strategies to really get a handle on our time, to get a handle on our energy and our well-being just by paying attention to the cycles and to our inner wisdom. Now, before we get into the nitty-gritty of this book and we talk about all the practices and approaches to take to gain energy and to be even able to prioritize your self-care or the creativity or the activities that are important to you, it's really important that you understand that this book is written under the assumption that you are high enough up on what's called Maslow's hierarchy. Now, this isn't something that Kate per se talked about, but it's something that because I am doing a little assessment of this book and teaching you these skills, I think it's important to understand that when we are goal setting, when we are trying to improve the dynamics and relationships and creativity and expression of our life, of our purpose, we're doing so once we have already fulfilled all of our basic needs and some of our psychological needs. So if you guys are familiar or not with Maslow's hierarchy, it's basically a pyramid that starts with your physiological needs like food, water, warmth, rest. Then it bumps to safety needs like security and safety. I'd put shelter under that category as well. Then after that, you have belongingness and love needs. So this is your friendships, your intimate relationships. After that is your esteem needs, prestige, status, feelings of accomplishment. And then you have self-actualization. That's where you achieve your potential, where you get your creative flow, where you have a ton of growth, where you really get to evolve and up-level. So the work that we're talking about today has a lot to do with that self-actualization, and it's really important that you have your physiological and your safety needs, those real basic needs met. Otherwise, what I am saying, what I'm teaching you is going to feel a little bit unfair. I'm going to say things and you're going to think, if you don't have those needs met, how could I possibly be in that scenario? How could I make that work for me? And more oftentimes than not, you may not be able to. It's really important that we really meet our needs in that kind of chronological order. And so when you have food and water and financial security and a roof over your head and you have a support system, you have friends and family in your life, maybe you have a steady job, you're feeling like you're very capable, but something's missing in your life, you're too busy, you're too overbooked, you're feeling like you're obligation driven instead of desire driven, that's when we start to talk about what can we do? What can we manipulate? What can we change? How can we change our perspective? How can we reframe? That's what this episode is all about. All right. So if you're listening and you're still in that phase where you need financial security or you need to feel safer or you need to have more consistent rest or food or any kind of basic need, then it's probably safe to pause this episode and reach out to me personally, and I'd be more than happy to steer you in the right direction, okay? All right, so with that said, I'd like to begin this episode, and you can just have that in the back of your mind so that you can assess whether you're at the stage where this episode can be really helpful or not. Okay, here we go. I want to talk about cycles because this is the premise of the book, and it is kind of the basis by which we are going to move through everything here. Now, as you know, women are on, well, they tend to be on a 28-day cycle. That's relatively common knowledge. Men, however, are on a 24-hour cycle. So we are all cyclical, but men and women tend to differ in how long it takes to get through the four different phases of each cycle. Ironically, our world is pretty much set up for the 24-hour cycle, which is why a lot of women tend to have a hard time feeling complete at the end of the day, to feel like they have gotten through their to-do list or they have gotten through kind of the cascade of processes that we have to go through. So if you tend to look at yourself and your productivity over the course of a day, you're going to feel pretty disappointed 9 times out of 10. But I wager that my mama friends out there, if you were to look back at your month and you looked at your achievements and you looked at what you learned and you looked back on what happened with the various relationships in your life and the goals that you had, how much you were able to move forward, the movement, the eating habits, the obstacles that you overcame. If you looked back and looked at it in that period of time, then you'd see a completely different story take shape. Now, we don't always have this information handy, do we? We don't always take the time to journal or mark down in the moment all these things that are happening. And so all we have is that 24-hour cycle. Our brain checks in with us every night and says, man, I wish there was more time in the day. I didn't get to do this. I didn't get to do that. I couldn't show up for this person. I didn't get to work out. Whatever all of those kind of lack-oriented mindsets are, that happens because we're set up to start the day and end the day, start the day, end the day on that 24-hour cycle. So we are going to discuss how we can start to take ownership and bring awareness to this whole magical piece of information that when we put energy into it, will yield so many benefits. So we talk about these cycles, and there are four phases per cycle. Now, in terms of the human body, the female human body goes through four phases. One is called follicular, followed by ovulation, then the luteal phase, and then the menstrual phase. And what's so incredibly amazing about this is that each of these phases actually aligns with the phases of the lunar cycle and the seasons of the year. And as Kate says, when we honor the distinct and uniquely useful phases of our bodies and the moon and our creativity, then we get further, faster, without having to push as hard. The first phase that I want to discuss is the follicular phase. This is the same time as spring, the waxing moon, meaning when the moon is becoming fuller and fuller until it gets to that full phase. And it's what Kate calls the emergence phase. All right, so when we are in follicular energy or that waxing moon energy, that's all about creation. This is where momentum takes shape. I love this phase because it's where creative energy is building. It's the planning phase. It's where we write outlines. It's where we brainstorm. It's where we really start to kind of hone in on ideas and themes, and where those kind of aha moments start to come and flourish, and where we can really nurture the concreteness of our ideas. Kate always says that emergence is when a project moves from theoretical into concrete. And so this is a time, and often it happens in actual spring months, right? And it also happens when within the month you are in that waxing phase, all right? So you are kind of halfway towards that full moon. And so we're really emerging. Think about flowers and seeds coming up and really starting to be in that full bloom. The next phase is the ovulation phase, which is the same as summer, full moon energy, and what Kate labels as the visibility phase. So here, this is when you start really bringing your ideas to the public eye, where you make yourself visible. This is a very social time. This is a time at the peak of summer when you want to really launch projects and, you know, be in front of people, to be public, to be exposed. This is a really beneficial time to get your ideas out in front of people, to do live events. I know sometimes it can be hard right now to think about that with COVID and we're not able to be as physically social, but this is a time to make those FaceTime calls and to, if you have your own business, to launch a webinar or to launch a product, and to really not be afraid to be out there, to be a little vulnerable at this time, to be visible and exposed. I think about this time as having a lot of energy and to really be more present for my people. I try to take an extra effort to be a little bit more of the instigator of get-togethers or the instigator of checking in with people. I find that it's a great time to focus on manifesting during a full moon, really attracting as much abundance and awesomeness as possible, to really hone in on what exactly I need to release so that I can actualize the things that I need in my life. The full moon phase, this visibility, this summer of our cyclical being, is a time of magnetism. All right, so I really want you to think of high energy, of being a magnet for what you want, and for really being okay with being out in front, to really being present and seen. The next phase is the luteal phase, and this lines up with the waning moon, fall, as far as the seasons go, and what Kate dubs as the culmination phase. Now, the culmination phase, just like you think about fall, is really that time where the moon is starting to decrease its energy. We're getting less and less and less visibility, and you really want to hunker down. This is a quieter time. Think about sweater weather, hot cups of coffee or tea or hot chocolate, and really taking time to go a little bit more within and dot your I's and cross your T's and really just bring to closure all the things that you've been working on, and really kind of taking the time to do the work that only you can do. So this is less about reaching out and being exposed and more about coming back to center, honing in on that focus, paying attention to the details, really finishing projects, and just putting in the work. And then lastly, we have the menstrual cycle. This is physiologically when you bleed. It's also in conjunction with the fertile void. This is our winter. This is our time of rest. When we're in a fertile void, you can think about it like crops. Once you have had that harvest, you can't go right back to planting again. You have to let the soil rest. You have to refertilize. You have to till the soil. You have to mix it up. Let it sit. Us humans need to do that too. Once we've been through those three phases, if we don't take the time to rest, then we are trying to start over again way too soon. The new moon, okay, when you can't see the moon at all, that's the time for rest, reflection, evaluation. This is the time where we check in with ourselves. This is the time where we try to truly set new goals, to reflect on what's working, what isn't, to assess our processes, to assess our relationships, our energy. This is truly a time to refuel, reconnect within, and then start again once we're ready. Now, what is so cool about this is that we can take it a step further. So now we know that we have four phases for every 28-day cycle. These phases line up with the lunar cycle, and they also have a more macro impact by lining up with the four seasons. But what we didn't talk about yet was that these phases also line up with the 24-hour clock in our day. So, since everything seems to be so 24-hour related, Kate has found a way to make this work for us if we pay attention to how our cycles can actually fit into that 24-hour clock. And this benefits us because when we actually look at these cycles and how they fit into our day-to-day lives, we can change the way we spend our time. We can literally save our energy by scheduling activities and commitments and personal time and family time and obligations with as much alignment as possible to these phases and the energy that each possesses. So if we break down a 24-hour day, you can look at 6 a.m. as the emergence phase, all right? That is the waxing moon, follicular energy, spring, planting. From 6 a.m. until about noon, maybe a little bit before, you're going to have that amazing creative energy. So your morning hours are your most productive, most creative, most planning-oriented hours. So you can, when you can, schedule your maybe your hardest work, like if you have to create content for your job, or you have to create a schedule, or you have to plan logistics for, you know, carpools and after school activities, the morning hours are going to be the best time where your brain is literally wired to support that type of thinking. All right. Then as we approach noon and go into the later afternoon hours, that's when we're in the visibility phase. So this is full moon energy, ovulation energy, summer, that full bloom, high exposure. So I'd say between like 10 and 2, you really want to try and schedule your most visible activities. So your lunch dates, if you have meetings for work, try and do them between 10 and 2. If you need to do anything where you're presenting projects or you have to do FaceTime calls and stuff like that, those kind of mid-afternoon hours are going to be your best bet. That's when your energy is most aligned with public visible work or social obligations or, you know, the fun stuff. Then as you approach that 6 p.m. time, that's our culmination phase. That's when the moon is waning, that luteal kind of autumn harvest phase. All right, so this is where we start to button up our day. We start to really wind down. We finish our projects. We kind of close the book on all the things that we're doing. So I would not start new projects at 4 o'clock. I wouldn't kind of begin new things then. This is the time to really start to say, okay, we're done with this for the day. Let's get organized. Let's make sure that we've put our bookmarks in and we've gotten our reminders set. You know, we fine-tune the details and then we lay it down. And then we move into those midnight hours. So I'd say, you know, between 8 on, that's when you really want to be in that rest phase. All right, so midnight is the peak of the fertile void. This is the new moon energy, menstrual phase, and our winter, our fertile void where we are resting, literally the middle of the night. All right, I'd say from that 9 o'clock hour all the way until 6 a.m., that's when you want to be in a state of restoration, of true reflection, rest, and just kind of homeostasis, right? We want to give ourselves body, mind, and spirit the time to recoup, refuel, fill our cup, and really be able to start the day again in that emergence phase the next morning. And what's so magical about this system is that when you look at time in a circle, then all that's happening is that you're just moving through each phase back to the beginning again, where you get to start over. And it doesn't feel like that 24-hour cycle that's linear, where you start a day and you end a day, because the end of a cycle is just the beginning of another one. And that's a real nice mental shift and a visual shift, so that we never feel like we're lacking. The further you get into those phases, the closer you get to start again. And that feels so much different than just finishing when you go to sleep and not having that sense of momentum. Okay, how's everybody doing so far? I know that some of this is a very different way to look at your energy and at your time. And I hope that by shifting these mindsets, by looking at our calendar differently, we can start to understand how we can choose our activities differently, how we can schedule life differently to give us more energy, to allow us to do the right things at the right time, so that we're not suffering through all of those decisions. Now, one of my favorite chapters that Kate talks about in this book is talking about making sleep a spiritual practice. Now, I'm not going to go into detail about a spiritual practice per se, but I do want to touch on the importance of sleep and why we should look at it as a spiritual practice. I think we all are in agreement that sleep is important. But it's kind of one of those things that we don't think about on a day-to-day basis. It's not presented to us in day-to-day conversation. The news doesn't talk about this. We really aren't taught it anywhere. But Kate has done some studies, and she quotes howsleepworks.com to show all the things that happen when we sleep. Our long-term memory gets organized. We integrate new information. Neurotoxins get neutralized, cells get repaired, that's a huge one. Physical wounds are healed. Okay, the immune system is strengthened, growth hormones increase. This actually is important because that's what happens for tissue regeneration and repair. Okay, we need our growth hormones in order to repair our tissues. We also need sleep for muscle growth and to synthesize our hormones. These benefits are largely out of sight, out of mind, because we don't know they're happening and we can't feel them happening because we're asleep. And so it's so important to remember and to really educate yourself on what is actually happening when you sleep. Experts say sleep is rest for the body and meditation is rest for the mind. We need both. All right, they do different things. They help us achieve different statuses of health. And so it's really, really beneficial to be able to afford ourselves the opportunity of a good night's sleep. And not just because of the benefits. Kate also talks about what happens when we don't prioritize sleep. Okay, sleep deprivation is responsible for increased risk of obesity, for your tendency to overeat. It's linked to an increased risk of certain cancers, an increased risk of diabetes, increased risk for catching a cold. When you don't get enough sleep, you risk loss of brain tissue, focus, memory loss. You even increase your risk of death. You decrease sperm count. You increase risk of heart disease. You have 4 times the risk of stroke. And let's not forget overall premature aging, because you're getting wrinkles and under eye circles and your hair is turning gray. And there's all this stuff that happens because your body isn't strong enough and resilient enough and nutrient dense enough to be able to keep your skin healthy and supple and to keep the color in your hair, all right? It's your sex drive. It's all these things that are secondary responses. They are secondary benefits when you don't have the baseline of sleep. It's that simple. Your body needs to be fed. It needs to be nurtured if you want to ask it to perform, if you want to ask it to stay young, to stay supple and energized. So I have a few of my own, and Kate definitely concurs with these ideas, but these are things that I do to make sure that I prioritize rest, both in meditation, like in the middle of the day and in separate practices, but also at night to make sure that I'm getting enough sleep. All right, energy comes in so many different ways and it's depleted in so many different ways. So one thing that I do is I set a reverse alarm at night. I don't always do it in, you know, perfectly every night, guys, so please have some grace with yourselves, but you can kind of have a deal with yourself, or you can set an actual alarm for an hour before you go to sleep. And the idea is that once that alarm goes off, you know, once it's 9-10 o'clock at night, whatever is the hour before, you make a deal with yourself that you are done with screens, that you are done with checking email and texting people and doing anything that could potentially stress you out. All right, and yes, sometimes you are watching Netflix and it's not stressful, but it's blue light. It is a signal to your brain that it is time to be awake, that it is time to be alert and entertained. And yes, there might be a part of it that is relaxing, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you just don't want to do it right before bed. So make sure that if you're going to watch that show or you're going to start a movie, that you turn it off about an hour before you intend to be asleep, so that you can give your brain that downtime, that you can let it come off the high of the blue light, the high of if you had emotion around the movie or around the email or the text message, that you can come down for that, from that, that you can detox and get back to center and do some sort of calming practice, some sort of nurturing, true nurturing, so that you can really ease yourself into that sleep. So related to that is wearing blue light glasses at night. I have a company, Blue Blocks, that I just adore. I think they are so amazing. They are based in science and they have glasses and light bulbs and just amazing products that have really helped me and my energy. And so I will wear special blue light glasses at night if I am watching a video or, you know, a movie or TV, or I'm on my phone. I make sure that I have those glasses on. I still try and stop everything before bed, but when I'm using it, basically from when the sun goes down and on, I put those on because, you guys, blue light is everywhere. It's in your house lights. It's in the refrigerator door light. It's out in the garage when you run to get something in your car. It's on your phone. It's on the TV. It's on the computer. So by wearing these glasses, once the sun goes down, I'm protecting my eyes from those conflicting messages that the blue light sends, that it's time to be awake. And it just really helps me switch gears into that down mode, into that kind of waning rest phase, okay? The other thing that I love to do, and this is no surprise, is to make time, and I said make time for, not just take time, you have to make time for this stuff. You have to decide that it's important enough and schedule it in, and I make time for a meditation practice. I will totally admit 100% that when I don't do this, when I fall back and I make everything else more important, I suffer, they suffer, literally everything suffers. And so this is really one of those things. Remember, I said sleep is rest for your body and meditation is rest for your mind. You have to do both, because when you don't give yourself time to rest your mind, to really process your day, your body's going to try and do that during sleep. All right, through your dreams, through incessant thinking, that monkey mind when you go to bed, and you're going to compromise your sleep now. So not only are you not fully rested in your brain, but you're taking time that you're supposed to be resting your body to rest your brain, and now you're kind of doubly screwed up. So taking time, it doesn't have to be literal meditation, but taking time to rest, taking time to do something nurturing. All right, so that could be a salt bath, that could be journaling, that could be taking a nice walk around the neighborhood, listening to some classical music. Pick your choices here, okay? This is just a theme, an idea about spending time in rest every day that isn't sleep. And I'm telling you, when you gift yourself that opportunity to reflect on your struggles, to be at one with yourself, to be present in the moment, then when it is time to sleep, you won't be as restless. You won't be as flustered, and your mind will not have to go through that process during sleep, and you'll get such a better night's sleep. Okay. Oh my goodness, can you guys hear the motorcyclists? I live right by a highway, and so I apologize if you can hear that and if it's distracting. Hopefully it's louder in my ear than in the microphone, but alas, this is real-time podcasting for you. Okay, moving on. I really want to jump into one of the other concepts in Kate's book that I just love, and that is streamlining your to-do list. Now, I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty of how Kate explains how to set up your daily and weekly and monthly to-dos and all that, but what is important is that you pick a process. Now, for me, I use a practice called Monday Hour One, and I learned this from Brooke Castillo. She is an amazing life coach. You could follow her podcast. She has hundreds and hundreds of jam-packed informative episodes, and I took this little mini course from her, and it was a game changer, and it is 100% in this wheelhouse of organization and streamlining. And so I want to share it with you briefly. So all that Monday Hour One is setting up your week by taking 1 hour every Monday morning. Now, I recommend doing this around 6 a.m. I like to get up early. I think it's amazing to be up during that emergence time and to really make the most of those morning hours, especially for all you mamas out there before the kiddos are up. And I take an hour out in the wee hours of the morning, sometimes it's 5:30, and you literally go through every possible to-do that you're going to have in this given week. All right, so Monday through Sunday, what needs to get done? Every single thing, whether it's delegatable or not. The important thing is that you write it down and you get it out of your mind and onto the paper. And then from there, you start scheduling. You start putting in all the appointments, all of the self-care, all of the personal, financial, work-related, all of that stuff. You start putting it in all of the aligned time slots until nothing on that list doesn't have a place on your calendar. And then all you have to do for the given week is follow your calendar. It is your map. It is your guide. You have literally prioritized every single thing on your list to have a space. Now, of course, days can go crazy and things, you know, are unplanned that happen. But the idea here is that you, in your most creative, planning-oriented, energetic phase of the day, you planned for things, when you were thinking straight, when you had the big picture in mind, when you could problem solve, you made a priority. So when life gets a little stressed, when things get a little bit out of sync, you have all of that to lean on. You know that, you know what, when I was thinking straight and when I had the big picture in mind, this was important. So I'm going to really do my best to stick to this schedule and to trust it. And the second part of this is that you check your schedule against the lunar cycle. All right, so when you're giving all of your to-dos time slots, you pay attention to the times of the day and where we are in the lunar cycle. Are you in a high energy phase? Are you in a low energy phase? Do you want to be around people this week, or is this week part of the, you know, new moon and you need to be resting and resetting? And so you compare all of your to-dos with that lunar cycle so that you know exactly when the best times to do each task is, to the best of your ability. Of course, it's not always going to be in your control when a meeting is or when an obligation is, but for the most part, we got to control what we can so that we have the energy to hold space for ourselves when we're not quite aligned. All right. And then the third thing, and Kate is a big supporter of this, is to use a time management quadrant. So both of us use something by Stephen Covey. He calls it the decision matrix, and I created one of my own with a little bit of a spin on it, and it's called the obligation versus delegation checklist. So in terms of managing your time, I really wanted to create something that could help you take mindful, purposeful action on your to-do list. Because if you're anything like me, I'm a Virgo, I love my lists, but the very nature of a list can be stressful. You can kind of just set yourself up to fail because you inevitably always have more on your list than you have availability in your day. And so by bringing some awareness, you can really kind of assign each task with a level of obligation and delegation. Knowing what goes where will ensure that you're spending time on the tasks that matter most and that resonate most with your strengths, your talents, and your time, and most importantly, your energy. All right, so I've broken up each potential task into four different quadrants. So just like Stephen Covey, we have urgent and important, which I labeled as just do it. All right, these are important tasks that require your immediate attention. These are emergencies, deadline-driven projects, tasks that only you can do. The things that require your skill set specifically or your level of status, okay? The second option is just plan it. So these things aren't urgent, but they are important. All right, so they need to get done, but they don't need to get done right now. So things that don't require your immediate action or attention, you know, the to-dos that you can schedule for later, that, you know, maybe you can establish certain office hours to return emails. You don't have to do them as they come in, like 4 o'clock can be your email hour or something like that. These are maybe social engagements or errands that you have to run, maybe household tasks that need attending to. Even certain self-care can fall under this planet. All right. The next category is just ask for help. All right. So these things are urgent, but they're not necessarily important, meaning these tasks require immediate attention, but they can be done by others, all right? Some errands, some household tasks, some admin, maybe some like marketing or website management. If you own a business, you can outsource that stuff, right? You can outsource food prep, childcare, okay? The list goes on and on, but these are the things that are available for other people to do. I'm not saying that they don't have to get done now. I'm just saying that we need to be more mindful about what actually has to be done by us versus what we can ask others to help us with, be that trading skill sets so that you don't have to pay for it or paying for it, or creating systems where you have things done automatically, There's certain scheduling software. I know, like, if you're in, you know, you have to do a lot of like social media posting, there are apps that you can do things ahead of time and it'll post for you so that you're not having to actually be online at every given time. There's so much help available, and it's just a matter of shifting your mindset and shifting your awareness to actually say, you know what? I'm just in the habit of doing this myself. I'm in the habit of feeling important because I, quote unquote, have to do this task, when in fact, it's absolutely delegatable. We just aren't in the habit of doing that, or we're getting some sort of psychological benefit by keeping it on our list of must-dos. And then maybe that means we get to feel important, or we get to feel like a victim. I know I can be a little harsh about this stuff, but there's a reason you're not delegating stuff. There's a reason you're taking on more than you can chew. And it's important to understand the reason behind that so that you can change. If you want to change, this is all advice for those of you who are overwhelmed. For those of you who feel like you have too much on your plate, this is how to get out of that cycle. Okay? Awareness, awareness, awareness. Okay, the last option you have, we did just do it, just plan it, just ask for help, just say no. All right, this is a familiar one, but it's in a little bit different capacity. These are the tasks that are not urgent and not important. Okay, and this is a lot of stuff, guys. Okay, these things aren't time sensitive and they're not important to the goals of the day, right? To the things that you already established on Monday were really important. Okay, so these are distractions that make us feel like we don't have enough time. This is social media. This is busy work. This is binge watching TV. This is saying yes to somebody else out of fear, obligation, or guilt. It is okay to say yes when you want the yes. But if you're saying it out of obligation, if you're saying it out of fear of disappointing someone, if you're saying it because you think you owe them, okay? That's not healthy. That's taking you out of alignment of where your goals are and where your fulfillment is and where your energy is. All right, this is stuff that has you taking on the responsibilities of others. So mamas, I am talking to you right now. You don't have to do everything for your kids. You can pick the important things that matter to you and that make you feel awesome and that bond you with your little ones. But you don't need to take on everything. You don't need to be responsible for every homemade X, Y, and Z, to be a volunteer for 5 different things, to cook every meal, to run every errand, to complete people's happiness. All right, you're not responsible for others' emotions. They are. Let's repeat that. I am not responsible for how other people feel. I'm not responsible for other people's success, right? There are levels, sure, but you know what I'm talking about here. We can say no to more things. We absolutely can. No is a boundary. That's all it is, guys. No is not a bad thing. No is you standing up for your boundary. No is saying, I can't do that because I've prioritized this already. All right, it's saying yes to all the things that matter, all the things that make you thrive, all the things that make you the rising tide that lifts all ships. That's all a no is. A no is just you standing up for those values, for your freedom. All right? It is education. It's communication. A no is not mean. A no is saying, I am really clear about how I can show up for myself and for others. And if I can't help you, maybe I can get somebody else who can. Or maybe when I have time, I can teach you how to help yourself. All right, it's mindset. It's always mindset. How we think is how we do. All right, and using this worksheet, you don't have to use it every day. My gosh, guys, I don't use it every day. But every month, I might go back to it and think, am I using this? Am I really going through my to-do list and making sure that I am delegating, making sure that I'm asking for help or planning things that can be planned, that I'm saying no and setting boundaries? It's so easy to let speed be a strategy. That is my favorite phrase these days. It's so easy to get in the habit of doing and being busy and feeling important because of that. But it drains our energy. All right. And Kate is such a beautiful supporter and educator on bringing awareness to what drains our energy. What things can we ask for help with? What things can we delegate, right? So much of this book is about repurposing our energy into the few important things so that we have more time, more creativity, more mental and physical space to attack life, to show up brilliantly with that full cup from the overflow instead of from this place of lack and exhaustion, okay? So finally, the last thing I want to cover, and it dovetails off of this kind of weekly planning and obligation delegation checklist and really bringing awareness to your week and to your day and to your strengths and to your goals, is the idea of the universe's to-do list. Now, this is such a brilliant concept because raise your hand if when you are going through your to-do list and when you are planning out your week, tell me if you haven't come up against those things that you just feel like are out of your control, the things that you feel overwhelmed by. Maybe you can't get childcare lined up, or you're not able to make the schedule work, or you really want this job, or, you know, the list goes on and on. But there's something inevitably that isn't in your control. You can't will it. That's where the universe's to-do list comes in. This is a list that you keep on a sticky note, or you can make a beautiful list. I actually have a PDF that I will include in this. I use it with my clients. And you write down the things that you would like the universe to handle for you, that you would like to maybe even co-create with the universe to say, you know what? I don't have the mental space or the creative space or the energy to tackle this, and I really need your help. All right, so maybe it's some of those just ask for help column items, right? The website management for your website, or some errands that you just can't find the time to do and you don't know who to ask, or your partner can't do it for you. Put it out there for the universe. Let the universe's energy hold on to that for you. And maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to attract some energy because you let the universe help you. And you'll be able to notice that someone just texted you that they're at the store where you also needed someone, and can they get something for you? Or somebody has a friend whose sister is a babysitter and she just lost her job and she's looking for work right at the time that you needed to find someone. Things happen and they're not by accident, but you have to ask for help. You have to put out into the universe that you can't figure this out on your own and that you're asking for support. And so you can think it's silly and you don't have to do it, but it's something that you can try. It's something that you can buy into, that you can accept as just an opportunity, as something that's available to you. That can't hurt, right? You don't have what you want. So why not ask the universe for some help and just see what opening yourself up to that kind of energy and that kind of support, what that can do for you. All right, guys, I think I've given you enough to really sift through and munch on for the day. I really want to be here as a sense of support, because right now with everything that's going on and the new schedules and the new obligations and the new normal that we are all adjusting to, it demands that we find this new way to be. It demands that we take ownership over our time, that we take ownership over our emotions, that we control our mind, our body, our spirit to the best that we can. We do that by supporting it. And we do that by using Kate Northrup's extreme wisdom in that lunar cycle, in using your own body in its own cyclical nature, its own strengths, its own cycles, so that you can plan accordingly. You can set yourself up to handle challenges. You can set yourself up to deal with this uncertainty by doing everything you can that's in your control and aligning that with the cycles, and then bringing awareness into your day so that you can streamline your to-do list, you can make time and prioritize that rest, and you can really simplify your decision-making process so that you can have more energy and more freedom in that beautiful, beautiful life of yours. All right, guys, namaste. If you have any questions, you want to talk more about this episode, just email me at deb@heartcenteredyou.com. I will include access to the PDFs that I mentioned. I will put a link to Kate Northrup's book and her Instagram page, and you guys can just envelop yourself in these resources. And I know right now it might feel like I don't have the time already. I don't have time to do all this stuff. But I promise you, a little bit of investment now, a little bit of organization and awareness is going to yield you so much more time and energy. You won't be sorry. I promise, 110%. All right, guys. Namaste, everyone. I love you, and I will see you next week. Thank you so much. We are done for now, but there are always ways to connect. If you liked today's episode and you want to continue to support this podcast so I can keep bringing you fun and informative ad-free episodes each and every week, consider swinging by Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you can become a Find Your Freedom contributor and receive behind-the-scenes goodies and first dibs at episode topic suggestions. Just go to patreon.com/findyourfreedompodcast or hit the link in the show notes. And in the meantime, let's get out there today, guys. Be that rising tide. Find that one thing from this episode that can help you find your freedom, and then join me back here next week.